What is up, bitches? It is Tuesday, July 26, 2011. I'm DJ Wheat. This is Inside the Game. And joining me, as always, we have got VP Pain User and EG Idra and In Control. Guys, what is up?
Yo.
Hello.
Hi.
Not at your usual locales today, Pain User. You and are in some strange like room, the psych ward. It kind of looks like it might be a little bit.
It's my apartment.
You need some colors, man. You obviously need like a fucking StarCraft 2 poster or something there.
It's on the other side of the room.
Oh, well, you didn't think too much about that. Anyway,
someone needs to make a funny montage. Because in the NASL, we interviewed all the nerds who won. StarCraft guys don't decorate their rooms. It's really unnerving. Yeah.
They don't. I don't know what's up with that. It's okay.
StarCraft, interior decorator, man.
I'll start sending you stuff. Pain User. I'll just send you all like the boxes of just random gaming shit. And you'll like have a Kirby poster in the back and right next to it something else, and it'll look great. And you guys are at a LAN, Idrin In Control, or a LAN center. What's up with that?
We're boot camping for Anaheim and visiting the lovely town of Chino, but just so everyone who's listening right now, just get it out right now. Let's all do it together. There's sound in the background. No. And that's it. We can't stop them.
We can't.
As much as we wish we could.
As much as you wish,
it's not
you
that
could
bad.
Just grab their throats.
It'll get bad. They're playing like LOL and stuff.
Oh, no.
It's not as bad today. In the days in the past, it's been like we're all playing, we're all focused, and we'll hear someone go like, "Son of a bitch!"
And then you see LZ Gamer like pick up a chair, toss a table.
No way.
No.
I was just
like, he'd like meditate.
One guy was really obnoxious and so he goes, "Hey, shut up." And he did.
Nice. Good job, Greg.
Have any of the people there been watching you guys like, "Oh my god, how do you get this good in StarCraft 2?
Only one or two, and he was already a fan.
Oh, really?
They have us in like the back wall, so you can't really see us playing.
Is that intentional? Oh,
cool. I have no idea.
Do you care? Would you rather it be that way anyway?
Yeah.
I
mean, privacy's nice, I think. It's nice in here.
When you're playing, you're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all good. I understand that. So we're obviously getting ready for MLG Anaheim, and we will be talking about that later on in the show. But how is it going? Because all three of you are playing in this weekend's competition.
Actually, Greg was really nice. He asked a week ago, he's like, "Hey, what are we going to do about Anaheim?" And I was like, "I just want you to win. Let's just train together." So we've all been training together. Yeah. The Muslim's helping me a lot in particular. I really want to be a boxer. Like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I don't want to go into it like, "Well, I kind of played PvT." No, I want to go in like lightsaber, you know, cut some stuff up. But we're all helping each other get better. That's the main goal, I believe.
All right, what about you, Greg? I mean, same thing, pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah. We've all been here together following the same schedule, so we've just been practicing a lot. I like my group. I haven't been focusing on too much in particular because I feel everyone's pretty similar challenge. There's no one who really stands out. So just kind of been practicing in general.
All right, and Pain User?
Same kind of deal for me. I've just been laddering a lot. I haven't been playing with any like specific teammates or anything like that or practicing any specific matchup because I haven't played for so long that laddering right now is just giving me all the experience I need. So
how do you think that's going to affect your results? I mean, because just the landscape of when you were competing, I mean, in your last competition versus now has certainly changed tenfold.
Yeah, absolutely. Players are way better. And I've experienced that just running into people on the ladder, people that I used to be able to beat pretty frequently are like a few gaps ahead of me right now. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
And
but
yes,
I can still take games off really good players, but it's a lot less consistent.
All right. And just for those in chat that are surprised by this, I thought it wasn't a surprise. But yeah, all three hosts are going to be playing this weekend. So we'll be talking a lot more about that. We're going to go on to our first segment. And then we're going to do our Under the Microscope, which will be MLG Anaheim right around the corner. Talk a little bit more about that. But before we do, we're going into You're Doing It Wrong, and that is the Season 3 map pool. And I don't think we've ever had a topic on this show, guys, where we have gotten more emails in one, like, just course of 3 days where people have been like, what do these guys think of the maps? What do you think about removing Metalopolis? Like, I swear to God, it was a joint effort by hundreds of people because everyone wants to know, what the fuck? Metalopolis is gone. And, you know, with that came some other really intelligent questions as well. So have you guys seen the Season 3 map pool? I heard you guys talk a little bit about them. Who wants to be the first to sort of unload on this? And, guys, I mean, let's tell it how it is. Because this is the third season, and frankly, like, it is really, really fucking shitty right now.
Yeah, I've just given up on Blizzard when it comes to esports. They don't care about it, and they're really stupid about the way they do things because, I mean, you could cater to both communities. There's no reason to do this for casual players. Like, the casual players don't benefit from having bad maps or from not playing on the pro maps. They don't care either way. They're just playing. They don't know any better.
Okay. And, well, first question right off of that is that a lot of people are saying, oh, well, they have to have these maps because then the casual player can't play. And I don't get that at all. I don't get that at all.
I
mean, if you have a map that enables something, you were talking about Steps of War before the show, Nick Control. It's like if you have a map that enables someone to sort of like exploit something or exploit really crazy aggression, then how is that helping out a casual person versus going with a balanced tournament play map?
Well, I mean, just to bounce off of Greg's sentiment, if I could speak to that, it's like it's nonsensical in the sense that if you make maps that are better for competitive players, so closer to what tournaments are going to use, closer to what we need to train on to display the beauty of this game, then there's not going to be a casual player who's like, you know, this map, I checked it out.
It's just too good.
It's too macro-oriented. It's a little bit, I don't like it as much. I really want less clutter and just, you know, my base right next to his. That's what I want. They're not going to say that. So when they release these maps that, like, have four doodads and bases here, expansions there, and it's like named some kind of stupid StarCraft lore that, like, that's the most thought they put into it, it aggravates me because, like Greg said, it's not esports oriented. It's not like, it doesn't have scope in mind. It's just like, here's a map, and we made it, and it's really cool. But the ladder's really important. Like, that's a huge training tool. So now I'm looking at a training tool where half of it I have to disregard. Like, it used to be when I got close position to Metalopolis, I was like, well, this isn't helping me with anything ever. Now it's like close positions, bad maps, and already you're playing against people who aren't as good as your teammates. So it's just degrading the level of quality to train, and I think that's a bad thing.
Pain User, your thoughts on this? If you've been laddering, and I don't know about today because this is obviously recent, but your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's not very intelligent to just randomly remove maps like that, but I totally agree with the maps that they removed. I mean, Scrap Station, Slag Pits, Delta, and Metalopolis were all terrible. And yeah, Metalopolis included.
Well, but
you're so dumb, Pain User. You're dumb.
Yeah, we'll go. Well, there's obviously some other questions that were thrown out in terms of like, well, what's stopping them from bringing in the, you know, the league maps? But keep going, and then we'll jump to that topic.
Well, throwing in four random maps that nobody's ever heard of is going to throw off the balance by a lot. I mean, it's going to take a while before those maps are, like, played on, tested, before people find terrain-based exploits, stuff like that. So,
haven't they already?
I'm sure people have already.
They're going to go, well, new maps, that's how we get, you know, more ideas out there, that's how we expand our tournament. We're not going to be using these maps, dude. No MLG Nymerian Tombs of Hell Part 2, or you're not going to see it, so. Man.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
You're not.
I'm down with the maps that they removed, though. Like, I felt like those were all terrible maps, but throwing in those four new maps as, I mean, they should have just kept a smaller map pool with better maps as opposed to introducing four new maps. It's not like you have to replace every single map that you remove. It's pretty stupid.
Well, and then, you know, we go on to the other questions, which is, Actually, here, let me go in the order that we got them, because these are good questions. So, as players, is it frustrating that you have to conform to a non-standard map pool when laddering? And, wouldn't it be more beneficial to everyone if they're playing on the maps that have been fixed from the original? Goes on to ask, you know, why don't we have the GSL or the MLG maps included? Like, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense that you have the ability to throw in, obviously, any map, and they wouldn't try to make, you know, a pool that is somewhat similar to the map pool that is being used in all of the current competitions. I don't understand.
You know,
neither do we.
Well, yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I hate to be that guy who's like, we used to have it so good in the Golden Age, but, like, even using the iCup model of, like, if you want to promote a map, then give people a 20% bonus or something like that, or incorporate Map of the Week, which is where you pull from a map developer from the community, or MLG is coming up, so this week's maps are the MLG map pool type of thing, you know, like, being involved in the community
right.
does so much, and really it's less for Blizzard. Like, they're borrowing the off the genius of others, incorporating their ladder, and it makes everyone feel good. Like, the people that made those maps or fit, or the tournament that's getting hosted, they're like, my God, Blizzard recognized me. That's so awesome.
Pain user?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think they just need to take a different approach to map development, or do a lot of in-house, like, beta testing on the maps before they release them. And they should definitely try hit the model.
I mean, if they're spending time, pain user, making these maps, like,
it's
I mean,
so important.
But
maps are so important.
They are. They are. But if they're spending, don't you think they could be spending the time doing something else? Because we could pull from the community. We've got all these maps, you know. That we can pull from that are being used in competition. Like, that's what I don't get. Seems
what's
like
even more
resource.
Amazing is that they don't have the time to incorporate watching replays with friends or real chat channels, but they have the time to fucking tinker around with the map pool this much.
But they don't have to. That's the thing. Couldn't they just save themselves so much time and be like, yeah, gosh. Belcher Beach.
Well, maybe they're worried about
really
the quality of user submitted maps. Maybe
well, not user submitted maps. Look at the GSL map pool. Look at, you know, the MLG map pool. Even if you use some of these fixed maps and you did have an MLG Metalopolis, or there was a test bug, or a Belcher Beach, or, you know, Zelnaga Fortress, or something like. I mean, like, is that so bad?
I'll tell you what. Like, we had something like 200 to 300 Blizzard employees at the NASL finals, and I spoke with a handful of them, and they're like, you know, what's your gripes? And I listed off these things, and they all know. And it's not like any of them are like, okay, well, listen, when people watch replays together, drugs win. None of them say that. So, like, their main thing is that there's this department that handles this, and I'm trying to talk away from Greg's mic, so I'm not a robot. And then there's this department that does this, and then there's these guys that tell these guys what to do. So it's a lot of, like, hey, we want to do this. And they're like, well, we're busy doing this. And this guy's like, I don't care about either. Just get this done. You know, so on little things like that, they're going to do it. But the amount of time it takes to do it and the lack of them saying, hey, we're aware of it, we're going to do that, kind of frustrates everyone. So it's just a bad situation.
Did you get a read, Jeff, that they really do believe that they are going to, you know, fix some of these gripes that you were talking about, or that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Blizzard, I think, above most gaming communities, or excuse me, companies, is very user-friendly in the sense that when they come out with something or they do something, it's not the absolute, we're never touching that again. If the people are upset enough, they will change it. For the most part, I know that there's some Warcraft 3 and WoW community people that are probably going, you don't know, because I've heard some bad stories. But as far as my StarCraft experience is concerned, the big main issues, they typically revisit it. Unfortunately, they do it on Blizzard time, which could be anywhere between now and when my fourth son's born.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I guess. I got nothing with that one. That was
I
dumb.
Think so. Well, I mean, it's nice to hear at least that Blizzard would acknowledge that, yeah, you know, we know. I can imagine what it would be like to just sit there and go, God, that sucks. We know exactly what the community wants, but it takes this much to put it in development. The problem is that with the success that the game is seeing, like maybe accelerating that a little bit would be beneficial, you know. But
and that's where they lose a lot of my sympathy too, because it's not like this is a painful, all right, we'll do that again. They're pretty much conquering the planet with their video games right now, and little fixes like shared replay viewing, D&D on the interface so that Greg, myself, and everybody else don't get harassed all the time. Those are pretty easy fixes that would be really user-friendly. Like, there's nobody who's like, D&D? Well, screw that. I just lost respect for Blizzard.
Right.
Here I am, thinking I could message anybody at any time, and you went and took that away from me.
Right.
You know, nobody's
well, actually, I'm sure there would be some people that would be pretty upset by that.
I'd love for them to step forward.
Well, and, right? You know, I mean, Pan User, we can even start to go on to you know, some of the things that would benefit, like IPL, when if they had certain things like being able to hide the results of a competition instead of having to use cloaked maps, which prohibits you from doing certain things that, you know, the user should be able to get. Like, that's a real shame, because it just can't be that easy. It's like, look at all these crazy steps that we have to go around. I mean, is there, I mean, certainly from your guys' perspective, that's got to suck.
I'd like it to be more involved, just in general. Like, we have BlizzCon coming up, and we're not supposed to name names. Some people are involved, and they just know nothing. Like, I'd really like it if a lot more events and, like, if they just reached out more. Because in Brood War, it was extremely hands-off, right? We never heard anything from Blizzard. That was because it was a dead game. Like, nobody really cared except for the people that are playing it. They very much so care about StarCraft 2. I'd like to feel like they care more about the esports, or more. I mean, they care so much about the single player. I'd like to feel some of that love in the esports. You know what I mean?
Right. And Pain User, what were you gonna say?
Nothing. I was just gonna say it sucks. And people have even found ways to get around a lot of the cloaked maps. Like, I'm not gonna go into detail, but there are ways to go around some of the cloaked maps and figure that out if you're real serious about it. But it sucks. They should just make it so you can hide everything in its entirety. It just prevents online tournaments from having any kind of suspense, and it's stupid. And then people can also just follow their friends through tournaments and leak results that way. So, I don't know. The whole thing's pretty stupid.
And then, you know, going on, do you guys feel like there's a threshold in which this could affect, like, the pro scene, in the terms of that you would not necessarily ever get to play on the maps that you're going to have to be playing on to prepare for?
It definitely makes it harder, because, like, we saw a massive increase in the skill level of non-Korean Brood War players with the advent of Icy Cup, because it let you play in zero latency on professional maps against all the Korean players. So all of a sudden, everyone had access to the training that all these low-level Koreans do. That's how low-level Koreans get good. They just sit there and play on ladder. They play against the more established Korean players. But given the current system, not only because of the maps, mostly because of the server split, but now because of the maps, pro gamers just aren't going to be training on ladder. There's no reason to. It's not mimicking tournament settings at all. So foreigners really just have no way to practice on that highest level now. And you're just going to be stuck playing against your teammates. And playing against teammates is good, but that's not the whole picture. And honestly, foreign teams, they're just not as good as the Koreans. So anyone who wants to work their way up is pretty much forced to go to Korea now.
And the aggravating part, too, is that Blizzard's had their hand shown. Like, I can play on the Korean server. I can play on the European server from home. And their only argument that they've publicized for why they wouldn't want that is because of latency. But they're taking that decision out of our hands. If I've got a great connection from Toronto or from California with Fios or something like that, and I could play,
right?
Then why would you make that decision for me? You know, like, allow us to be like, wow, this lag sucks, and have it right on Battle.net that says if you play in a non, you know, local server, you may experience lag. They don't want to do that. They want to, like, baby it so that we're all kind of like mindless, like, I played on Europe server and it was wrong, it was bad, and they're like, oh god, what do we do with him, how do we fix this? Like, that really bothers me. Like, open up the servers, let people play if they have a great connection. If they don't and they complain because they're they're dumb, then, you know, have that banner rolling across the top or something. Or, I don't give a crap, have a pop-up when you click Europe and it says, warning, we've detected you're from North America. If you play on them there European servers, you might experience the slowness. You know, like, I'm okay with that.
Someone will still bitch, but I mean, yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Because what Greg says is absolutely right. Like, it's going to get to the point, because you asked the question threshold, it'll get to the point. We've already had a person release a latency server where you can go play in a LAN environment online. That kind of stuff's going to pop up. iCup was completely illegal. That's, you know, it existed because Battle.net just, or Blizzard just didn't care enough to go after them. That kind of stuff's going to pop up, and it would suck if Blizzard fell behind that way. Or went to war with the community, even worse. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, but at what point, I mean, hasn't the community already been at war with them a little bit? This is season two, or, you know, going into season three now. And, I mean, honestly, does that really matter? I don't think so. It's just it allows us to measure the amount of time that the community now has been bitching about the maps. Maybe not so much during the quote-unquote official first season and even through beta. I don't know that anyone necessarily cared. There are maps that people hated. But if there's a war where basically there's a bunch of guys coming at them and we're firing arrows and the community's going crazy and they're throwing their pitchforks, and they're sitting there with, like, giant body shields on, and the shit is just, like, bouncing off of them. And, you know, I mean, do they care? Do they just stand there and be like, this is cool? Yo, keep on making awesome maps.
It's pretty apparent they either don't know, don't care, or can't do anything about it. Because, I mean, there's been a pretty unified voice about a lot of this stuff right since the release. And there's no way they haven't heard about it. So either it's what Jeff said, there actually are practical problems in implementing it. And for some of the problems, that seems absolutely silly.
Yeah, really.
Or they just don't care.
I mean, I can't claim to know the technology behind it, guy. I don't think any of us can, right?
Well, they had replays with friends in Brood War. Well, so
yeah, there's
But I'm just talking about, like, do you guys think there's some... Okay. Bob, you need to recompile the code because we're taking out Metalopolis. Bob, get on it. It's going to take 97 hours to recompile the code to remove it. I cannot believe that Blizzard, the wizards of fucking PC gaming, like, can't
just
go.
I've already taken out three maps, man. I can't take out a fourth map. It's giving it all she's got. It's like, you're going crazy.
Is there not, like, a fucking awesome little interface in it? Oh, I could just checkbox the maps that we're going to have online that'll show up on the ladder. Okay, there we go. You know, I don't know. I find that a little hard to believe.
I'm furrowing my brow, Weed. Furrowing my brow.
All right, any final comments that you guys have on this?
Blizzard kind of sucks.
All right. Well,
it's an easy fix. Like on it, like I said, like a little bit of community involvement. You know, like Greg and I just went through the grinders of PR and the community and stuff. I'd like a little bit of that chagrin, the frustration, to go towards Blizzard and say, hey, why not use some of our maps? Why not? You know, like look at how excited people get when MLG gets an advertisement on Battle.net. Like. Do a little bit more. You know what I mean?
No, man. We got it. Bob, we've got to add the advertisement for Anaheim. Recompile the code. It's like, I've seen their fucking WoW command center, man. You could, literally, it's like, NORAD's down. You know, we have some problems. Okay, instate the Blizzard headquarters, you know, to launch the nuclear missiles. It's that freaking crazy in there.
But why would someone want to end the world of Warcraft?
They just want to play a game. All right. No, I'm it. You know, I haven't played the new maps yet. I'll give them wait, you guys are talking about a new Steps of War. Which map are you guys talking about?
Hang on.
Yeah, let me see if I can find the
Nera's in
pictures.
Crypt. Close positions are really bad.
They got pictures of these? Freaking, why don't they have pictures on this?
Yeah, exactly.
That is kind of weak, huh? Just have, like,
all just right, go to Liquipedia.
I will. And what is it called again?
Narazim Crypt.
Narazim Crypt.
Hey, don't
sounds worry. Like they wrote a random name generator to go ahead and pop that one out. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. All right. I'm gonna try to bring this up.
Looks all right.
So tell me about it. What were you
pain user?
There's a lot of fucking Zelmaga towers, that's for sure.
What? This tiny, tiny rush distance. It's
yeah, it's pretty small.
I would imagine Terrans would like that map pretty good.
Why?
You make five Marauders and the other guy's like, I don't know. It's really close positions.
Yeah, you could spawn any, right? Like, there's no, well, of course, these are the ladder maps. There's
all the
no
positions seem kind of equidistant. Are some closer than others?
I think so.
Actually, I've just tried the worst cannon rush I've ever seen. Just sitting here watching Bryce.
Will you make sure to tell him that?
It's like a five pylon cannon rush on metal.
This is that map. What the fuck are these rocks here for?
Are those trees or rocks?
No. Okay, if you look at every starting position and you go down your ramp.
Oh, okay. I see
and
that.
Then there's your natural.
They tighten the choke.
Oh.
Really? Like that? I mean, that's pretty. I mean, like.
They envision someone tearing those down and opening up a hole and running through past the three barrack wall. Like,
if they had five hit points, maybe, but it's like. Oh, shit, I'm going to need the next minute to take down these rocks. Hopefully he won't attack me.
I don't know.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of gag strats coming out. I apologize to everyone that hits me on the ladder on those maps. You're going to get some funny stuff.
Someone was already showing some, like, bunker placement on these maps in one of these threads that were pretty ridiculous.
Apparently there's little, like, weird middle ground cliffs next to the mains on some you can drop tanks on. They look like they're going to be absolutely ridiculous. I saw a thread about it on Team Liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple threads about some of these maps being broken.
Yeah.
My favorite part about, if we continue to complain a little bit about Blizzard, that'll be fixed in, like, 3 days. Phoenix Graviton beam being broken, fixed 2 months, maybe three. Like,
Yeah. Sorry about that, Jeff.
It's all right.
It was a sad day when it got fixed, actually.
Apologize to Tyler, because that's what killed it. He used to go Phoenix every game, and then that happened. Now he doesn't do it anymore.
I remember. I remember him complaining about it, and rightfully so. All right, if there's no final comments, then on the map pool, good luck on those maps, everyone, for those that are... I'm reading about another layer of ladder fear that now that has people have a placement match. In front of them, but just go and play it, people. Just go and play it. So our next segment, guys, is going to be Under the Microscope, talking about MLG Anaheim 2011. And there's definitely plenty to talk about. And before we do jump into it, just want to say that, of course, all three of these guys, including myself, will be at MLG, but they'll also be the GSL finals going on over the weekend, which will kind of make in history because it's a ZVZ. And then there'll also be Evo going on, which is a huge fighting game competition. I'm sad that I couldn't go. And actually, EG, you have a few members going to that.
I'd imagine Justin Wong's going.
Yeah.
Justin Wong.
And Ricky.
Ricky Ortiz.
And Flo.
Not sure if we're sending our new guys. Will Flo be there?
Flo will be there for sure. And I think all
Mumbo
of them
Jumbo.
Will be there. I think all of them will be there.
Mumbo Jumbo and Cucamonga. Rancho Cucamonga. That's another one we're sending.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that. The big news, guys, to come. The big news, guys, of course, Momochi, yes. The big news, guy, Choco Blanco, to come out for those that really wanted to know, that were like, really? I've got to look them up. I can't find anything about these fighters. Is that StarCraft II is taking the center stage. It was like the worst kept secret. Post MLG Columbus, what are you guys' thoughts? Pain user, I'll start with you.
I think it's awesome, man. I can't wait to see it in the center stage. All the last few events, it's like the whole community's been there. We've all been together, united, cheering, and our cheers and the size of our crowd and the size of our audience was twice as big, if not three times as big, as the Halo and all the other venues. And I remember talking to so many of the MLG higher ups, some of the corporate guys over at MLG, and they're all like Halo bros that started out playing Halo and everything, and they're like, oh, no way, you know, StarCraft's never going to overtake Halo. It's just not going to happen. Dream on, man. And now that it's finally taking it over, they're realizing they've seen the numbers on the stream and they've seen the numbers of people there. And
a lot of them, you know, seem to be getting into it themselves too.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're heeding that call. So it's really cool to see. And it only makes things look so much better for the future. Like, I can't wait till there's multiple organizations that have StarCraft II at the forefront on the main stage. And I think StarCraft II is going to be the main game for almost all the big esports tournaments from here on out. So,
well, it's also kind of a big deal because, you know, PC gaming was introduced to MLG with WoW. And now StarCraft II kind of took it over. So from that perspective, too, where MLG was an established console league with Halo as their premier title, it's kind of a big fucking deal. Like, it like rocks the culture of what MLG has built themselves on for the past 8 years. And that's not, or, you know, actually longer than that. But that's not a bad thing at all, I don't think. What do you guys think? Idra, StarCraft II taking the center stage, do you care? Is it going to change your ability to win this thing or what?
It doesn't have any practical effect on me in terms of that, but obviously it's a great thing. It's really good for us. It's more attention. It's recognition of how much better our game is than, you know, the other ones. It's just awesome.
Hank?
I'm really excited about it. They've been talking about that for a while, and they did it. To me, it's less like, I think it'd be, I don't know, I don't want to come off ungrateful, but it'd be a little bit silly to give MLG too much credit for, because it's like, they're recognizing numbers. Like, StarCraft 2 is crushing it. Like, it's annihilating.
Okay,
everything.
Jeff,
yeah, they
let
are
me...
doing it because it's a good move for them. I mean, we're the ones who are drawing the views right now.
So,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Finish my point, though, because I don't want to end there, because that would be, I'm not trying to make the point that MLG should get no credit. The point I'm trying to make, more so than they're just recognizing how good StarCraft 2 is doing, is that it's how, just that, how good StarCraft 2 is doing. It's really exciting to me. Like, MLG, the main North American tournament right now, is having, for the first time ever, their flagship game dethroned from the middle stage. And we all need to take a moment to realize the gravity of that. It's not just numbers. It is numbers. But Halo is what they built their empire on, and they're literally dethroning it. That's like such a monumental moment, and it's StarCraft 2 that did.
Yeah, that's where I would give credit, right? Like, they have been very, very... if you rewind a little bit and we have a little bit of an esports history lesson, you know, MLG, when CGS, which was like the major team-based video game competition that DirecTV tried to do, MLG stood their ground and was sort of like, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing and it is going to work. And eventually, you know, it's you're not going to be a big deal because we've been establishing ourselves. And they took this very firm ground that we are MLG and, you know, we're not that worried about you. And when CGS went down, MLG was also like, you know, told you so. We're kind of doing things right. You fucked up. I mean, obviously they weren't saying these exact words, but you get the idea. Like, you know how Sundance is. He was very vocal about the fact that, like, we are still around. We are MLG. So for me, the pride of we grew this business off of Halo and accepting StarCraft 2 and putting that sort of in its place, I think that's where, honestly, I would give them the most credit.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's just cool to show that they can actually do that. I mean, I know they'd been talking about it for a little bit, but there's a huge uproar from the Halo community, and just even at the events, just the vibe from the Halo community, like, they're obviously not happy about it. Like, they don't like us a lot.
Really? I didn't get that vibe at all. But I mean, I wasn't out there that much.
Threat,
what did
sure.
you have some? And did you have some words? Pain user? Were there some words?
I mean, that just goes without saying. It just happened constantly. You have, like, Halo guys, like, running by you at the hotel, like, fuck StarCraft, like, Halo for life, just, like, running around with their shirts off. It's like, all right, dude, that's cool. But, yeah, it's just really cool to see that, you know, they're going with our community. And we stayed quiet the whole time. You didn't see a lot of StarCraft 2 players running around bashing on the Halo tournaments and telling them their game sucked and everything. We were pretty cool about it in general. I'm sure there was some overflow of StarCraft fans being idiots, but in general, I didn't see a lot of that. And I mean,
it'll be silly because we're mostly StarCraft. Obviously, we're a StarCraft show, so my mic's on, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Apparently, well, there's the Halo inside the game going on right now.
We're trying to minimize the sound we hear in here stuff. So, when they announced Tastosis, when they announced like DJ Wheat and Day 9, our crowd's like going crazy, and then they're like, and also Shibe for, you know, like for the Halo people, they're like, you know, like the audience for StarCraft is way more involved. It's growing. It's bigger. We had that championship match for Columbus where we used all three audience stage areas. For our final match, because everyone else had gone home, and we could actually fill the entire venue with StarCraft fans. Like, again, it's MLG recognizing this is the future, this is where it's going, and they'd be really dumb to ignore that. And they're not. They're not dumb. They're business people. They've survived through some stuff, like you said, CGS and all that. So I'm really, really excited, mostly because StarCraft's gotten to that point.
Yeah, and I mean, realistically, we do not live in an industry where a game can live forever. So, you know, the fact that MLG branched out in the first place beyond Halo, and let's not forget about, you know, Call of Duty, Black Ops, which, you know, whether or not that'll be around for a while, I don't know.
At least until the next Call of Duty.
I don't know. And then, of course, it sounds like maybe some League of Legends stuff going on, that too being... a recognition of the numbers, right? Kind of with you on that. I'm kind of with you. I don't know that we want to go into that discussion right now. But
StarCraft's the safest bet. A big part of the reason why a lot of those games ebb and flow and are kind of risky endeavors is because they have a little bit of the flavor of the month for them. Like Call of Duty's had some huge variation. World at War, or whatever, was absolutely horrendous. Modern Warfare 2 is absolutely amazing. So you have that kind of.
Well, wait a second. Did you say World at War was horrendous?
That's the Call of Duty game, right?
There was a Call of Duty game called World at War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was trash.
Okay.
It was absolutely trash.
In Control? Okay. Hold on. Bro, that was the game that introduced Nazi zombies.
Okay.
So you basically just told me to go fuck myself and punch my cat in the face by saying that, just so you know.
I'm okay with that.
It did suck. I never played multiplayer, but only Nazi zombies.
That's all I'm saying.
Let's just call it Call of Duty Nazi zombies.
I'll tell you what. For you, I'll ask Sundance for MLG Nazi zombies so that you can compete once more.
You do.
We'll get you up on that big stage, buddy. But no, like StarCraft is like they've said a year and a half for each new edition, like Heart of the Swarm and Something in the Void, which in Blizzard talks like 3.5 years. Great longevity. Same game, StarCraft II, 3 parts. Pretty safe bet.
Yeah. It'll last a long time for that. So, okay, the other big thing, In Control, you've been vocal about this before. Chairs. They once again promised that there are going to be a shitload of chairs. Now, have any of you guys been to a of course you have. BlizzCon, right? Idra and In Control. Pain User, you've been to a BlizzCon?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going this year, too.
So, I mean, you guys know that convention center is pretty fucking big. It is pretty large. I think they might actually be able to facilitate that. This is a convention center that could be like, oh, yeah, 2,000 chairs, no problem, here you go. But will it be enough chairs? Go.
I don't think so. I mean, even last year at BlizzCon, it was packed to the brim. There were no chairs available, and I can't help but think it's not going to be way bigger this year. I mean, the game's grown so much.
They've explicitly said they try and undercut it because, you know, it looks a lot better to have people standing than to have empty chairs. So, no, they're never going to overshoot. I think it is going to keep growing, so we're always going to have people standing.
So they're going to come up with a formula to basically calculate the number of chairs that they need.
They've done a good job, though. Like, the seating has gotten better
each
and every time. My concern is that they're going to continue to get better, and I'll have nothing to complain about. So, be that as it may, I've evolved. Now, let's get away from the main stage, because they've accommodated us there. They've done a good job. Second stage. What's up? You want to know how many chairs we... You want to know how many chairs for second stage?
How many?
Guess. Take a guess.
Zero?
Yeah. Really much so, zero.
Zero.
Sundance. Get some chairs for second stage.
Okay.
Good. Or at least benches.
It's like
we start out with benches and then we're away.
Exactly. If I could see 2 silver benches rented for $30 a day.
As uncomfortable as possible.
Randomly placed too. Like they had like an angle here.
Yeah.
As if people would sit in a concave staring at the screen. Like,
that way you can discuss it. You have like a round table.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. They could be like Ed Rollis. He just didn't. That was so bad what Greg just did right there. If he knew better, he would have sent an additional drone down to stop that parrot.
It's MLG 2010 all over again. No seats for second stage.
Dude.
So I know we're not as good as the people on the main stage. And we're not as important. And DJ Wheat doesn't get to cast us because he's all busy on the main stage. But maybe Sundance, while rolling around in his... Who's the duck that rolled around in gold?
Scrooge?
What?
Scrooge McDuck.
No, Darkwing was like Batman.
In his Scrooge McDuck, rolling around in his gold coins, maybe he could find the two, maybe three, $30,000 it takes to get those chairs, and I would appreciate it.
All right, chairs are done with. Let's talk a little bit about the full list, guys. You know, the tomorrow night, the theme on Live on 3 is the fact that these three events that are about to happen are sort of legendary and groundbreaking for their own reasons. So make sure to tune into Live on 3 tomorrow, as we'll talk a lot more about GSL and Evo. Unless, do either of you guys have any thoughts about the fact that GSL is going to be ZVZ in the finals? It's been a while since we've seen a finals like that. Greg, what do you...
look at the players. I mean, every single one. ST is not supposed to lose to Hongen or whoever else he played. Beyond winning kind of surprised me. I haven't seen that series yet, but... I mean, Lucira and Nesty are better than everyone they played. You don't see a bunch of other Zergs up there.
Right. But I mean, like, I just mean, like, what do you think about the games themselves? Like,
oh, no, I was just responding to him, look, Gambit. I didn't see Lucira versus Bjorn, and Nesty versus Hongen was just silly. He was just so much better than him.
But I mean, like, the finals.
I don't know, actually. Korean ZVZ seems really weird right now. Like, they do a bunch of weird shit, especially Nesty. His, like, mutiling into Ultra and... I'm really interested to see it. I have no idea what'll happen. Nesty should win.
Hey, Wheat.
Hey, Inkachul.
How many Zergs in the top 8?
Of GSL?
I think there were. Got the numbers in front of me.
Oh, yeah. How many in control?
Four. That's 50%. I did the numbers. So. How many in the top 4, Wheat?
And then I carry the 2.
Yeah, which is, again, 50%. Interesting fact, Coco, I believe, lost a ZVZ before that.
Yeah,
so
that's
took a Zerg to kill a Zerg. I think that's correct, right?
That's correct.
Final numbers for you. One more. How many Zergs in the final?
100%.
You did. You jumped a step. But, yeah, it's 100%.
Yeah.
Someone as bad as Hongen can make the top 4 with Protoss. Get a good player playing Protoss. You won't have any problems.
What are your thoughts on this?
Or Gate, 3 times.
What are your thoughts, Pain User?
I mean, I wouldn't say anything like Zerg's OP, but they're both really, really good players, and they did stomp their opponents in the semifinals.
Really did. And it was kind of odd because... Historically, GSL has had like a really phenomenal like semifinal matchups, and then the finals has kind of been like, oh, they were not that great.
Go ahead, Wheat, no fluff.
I mean, Lucira even got bunker rushed and lost his hatch, and made a huge recovery from there on Zelnaga Fortress, which was pretty impressive.
Well, hopefully the finals will be awesome.
I think they will be. I mean, I don't know. ZVZ can degenerate into some pretty funny stuff sometimes, but I'd say it's better than PvP.
Okay, well, it's not saying much.
Yeah, it's not saying much.
I'm hoping. It's not like I want a bad finals, but ZVZ and it's the GSL finals. It's going to be tough. They got a lot to overcome. Now, you mentioned Live on 3.
Yeah.
Did you not?
I did.
I got a tweet for you. I'm going to play Slasher here for a second.
Okay.
Slasher said, on this coming Live on 3, and I quote, I will kick Alex Garfield in the dick. That is a tweet from Slasher. Your words. Your comment, please.
I have no idea what that means. Hold on, where is this?
I don't think anyone knows what that means.
I don't know, but apparently that's what he's going to do.
What is it to kick someone's dick on the internet?
I don't know. That seems really aggressive, though, by Slasher. To kick someone in the dick. I mean, is that more offensive than kicking someone in the balls, or...
It's really specific, to be honest. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, In Control. I kick Slasher in the dick every week on that show, so I'm not too worried about it. All right. I love you, Slasher. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, obviously, the fact that MLG is sort of groundbreaking in StarCraft II competitive events, is the fact that we're having what I'm calling now an accelerated tournament over the course of a weekend with an absolutely ridiculous player list. You know, includes obviously the three hosts here, and you've seen the pools, a lot of foreigners. I think we're up to now 7 Koreans coming over. And, you know, arguably the top tier is kind of growing a little bit. And I think that there's a lot of people that are here that are, you know, in a run for the money. So I don't know if you guys want to actually talk about the individual pools or maybe just comment on it overall and we don't have to get that sort of detailed into it. But, you know, what do you guys think about the fact that this could be the largest tournament that you all three have entered with the most competition? I mean, aside from like GSL, right? I mean, that's totally different. In an accelerated tournament format like MLG, like something that takes place over the course of 5 days or 3 days or whatever, that this would be the most talent going into a competition.
I'm thoroughly excited because we've entered an area. Like, I was practicing yesterday. Was a little bit unfocused. Played a few games with Greg. In the past, it's been like, okay, play some games. No, I was on my A game, and he absolutely annihilated. And I think we've entered the area where, in StarCraft 2, there's players that are getting better and better and better, where you can't play it and just do okay. You have to be hitting at all cylinders. And I feel like MLG represents that. Like, I can't go into that group off of a couple of days of practice or whatever and hope to do okay. Chef and boxer, and then whoever else the hell joins that group is going to be amazing. You can get made to look silly in front of a huge audience, and that's the experience that we as pro gamers have wanted in the West for a decade. Some of us that have been playing that long, and it's finally here. I'm absolutely jacked. What I think is a little bit silly, and again, this would be a show me on it if I bitch at MLG a little bit, but it's for a $10,000 prize pool. Like, it's amazing. We have people traveling over here for a $5,000 first place prize. And not to sound ungrateful, because that's awesome. You know, that's one of the bigger tournaments, and they're doing a great job. But, you know, like MMA, boxer, Dong Regu, all these like huge names, FXO acquiring all of FOU.
Right.
And like there's these huge things going on, and the people are like, you know, what are you competing for? $5,000. And they're like, that's not that much.
Yeah, it's nothing.
So I'm really excited. The competition is up here. The tournament production is building up to get up there, which is really cool. The prize pool is still right here, and it needs to be higher because it helps grow everything. You're going to get the news attention. You're going to get ESPN's attention. You get all these, you know, the bigger people, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you had like a $250,000 or $500,000 prize pool, you get a lot of media interest.
You're not going to see a front page New York Times article. New player from Korea takes home $200 or, you know, like $2,500 prize, like more on page 6. Like, it's just not going to happen. It has
right
to be.
Right. And it, quite frankly, and this is where you know, a little bit of esports elitism comes out, and that is the fact that, like, I still can't believe that in 2002 to 2004, you couldn't go to a Quake tournament where you weren't winning $10,000 for first place. You couldn't do it. Was it as big as StarCraft II? No, it wasn't. But it was still a big fucking deal that almost every other month, some guy was able to walk away with 10 G's, 25 G's, 15 G's. And I do believe, I really do believe that MLG, if they could change one thing, if they could just snap their fingers and be like, this is different about MLG, it would be the prize pool. Because there's no doubt that they know when that number goes up, then their potential for competitors and talent also goes up as well.
And they will, too. Like, they're really, I mean, it's easy. I do so many of these, I used to do a lot of these shows. It's very easy for me to come off as like, MLG sucks. I hate it. Nah, they're amazing and they're really smart. They're doing an awesome job. Like, if they were to just jump up, like last season, it was 2,500 for first place. You know, it was very, very small. They doubled it. If they were to be, instead of double it, it was like $25,000, then they don't have as much to grow it, you know, and it's also a bigger leap for them. So this year, I understand the $10,000. What I'm hoping for is at the end of this year, we get a really exciting, you know, announcement that, hey, it continued to grow. It's the biggest game in the world right now. We're going to give it its prize pool, $100,000,
right,
and then $200,000 for the grand finals. And I want to see people crying on stage. Guy comes up to take a picture of Greg. He grabs a camera. He snaps it over his knee, throws it in the audience. The audience is, like, clambering for it because Greg touched it and stuff. And Tasteless walks out in the crowd, and people tear his shirt off his chest.
It's,
that's what I want, man.
It's close. It's close, man.
And it's all because of the prize pool.
And all because of that. I mean, obviously, I assume Payne User Editor, you pretty much agree with all that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's awesome. I like that the foreigners are also coming over. We got a lot of Europeans at this tournament. And the Koreans, I think the reason they're coming over, even though the prize pools aren't that big, is just like, I think they see things growing in the Western scene and they're really happy about it and they really just want to be a part of it, because for so long it's just been this little like niche thing in Korea, and they had all their tournaments over there and they had the Brood War scene and everything, but now that everybody else is playing, I think they just want to be a part of it and they're reaching out and joining in on these tournaments, and I think the player exchange is a really good opportunity for them to do that, and I don't think they had anything like that with other tournaments for a long time, so I think that's kind of why they're participating, and it's really cool to have them over here and get a chance for them to interact with their fans over here. I just think the whole thing's awesome. It's great. Everything's moving in the right direction.
My question to sort of offshoot on this topic is, do you feel like you would have more motivation if the prize pool was larger, or do you have the same amount of motivation regardless of what the money would be to try to win the tournament?
No, within reason, the money is always secondary to me. It's the winning the tournament. I mean, it has to be relevant. If I'm playing a little $500 online thing, and I'm not going to practice for it. I'm not going to prepare specifically. But you know, anything on the scale of an MLG or bigger, MLG or NASL, I feel exactly the same playing a match for it. The money's not the important thing there for me. But that being said, it deserves a bigger prize pool. It is one of the highest caliber tournaments. It's just absolutely ridiculous the kind of names that they can draw to it. And have everyone competing for $5,000, it does seem kind of odd. It should be a higher prize pool, but that's not a huge deal to me.
All right. So let's talk about some other things. And I want to make sure we get some time in for some phone calls. So we'll just kind of go over this real quick. And that is the fact that we've got our schedule here for the red stream and the blue stream, guys, because just like last time, there'll be two streams streaming simultaneously. And as I note here, I do see Idra. You're going to be playing Boxer on the stream. And in fact, we have Idra versus In Control. But I noticed while looking through this list that Pain User, you are not on either of the streams. On
I shouldn't be.
Damn, we...
Oh, I love you, Paid User.
Hang on.
What?
I also noticed that you're not on any of the streams, DJ Week, because you're fucking terrible.
Actually, from 12:30 to 12:45 In Control, it says Day Rap with Day 9 and DJ Week. So I'll at least have 15 minutes with Sean where I can... No, I'm just... seriously... God, I feel bad now. You made me feel horrible In Control.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say to that, dude?
I want you to say, DJ Wheat, you'll see, buddy, on day two, they'll be like, get fucking Pain User up on the stream. Get in. We don't want anything on the red stream but Pain User.
I'd say that if I had been putting in like a ridiculous amount of time and training really hard, but you get out of StarCraft II what you put in, and I haven't been putting in that much effort lately. So I'm not expecting
to get anything out of it. Pain user wears flannel to tournaments now. He wears flannel to tournaments.
What, pain user?
When he wears sport shorts and hoodie shirts or hoodie jackets, that's when he's been training. Keep your eye out for that.
Okay.
When he's wearing flannels and he's got a haircut and he's showered.
Like the Mr. Mom look?
Not going to do it. No.
I got you.
He's gentle pain user mode.
I want you to do well, pain user. Trust me on that.
I know you do.
Trust me on that. I do. Because the pain user wins is way more fun to party with. I mean, than the pain user that doesn't win. But he's still fun to party with, but I want to party with the pain user that wins.
Can I help you dig that hole, Wheat?
Yeah.
Can I? Good God.
Listen to this guy.
Oh. Party.
Okay, I'm just trolling. Let's move on. Idra versus Boxer. That's kind of a legendary map or a matchup that like both of you guys are going to have to play. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So Idra and Jeff, why don't you? What are your thoughts on that matchup?
Mike's broken.
Oh.
He's just going to cheese me again. I don't know. It's hard to get hyped up for a match like that. He just plays so retarded in StarCraft 2. I mean, it's not going to be epic. Okay. It can't be, the way he plays.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think if you crush him, it would be epic to your fans.
Oh, it shouldn't be, but yeah, I guess I'll get excited about it.
Much like Greg, I feel the same way. He's an amazing legend. It's an honor to play him. I'm extremely excited for the opportunity.
Yeah, all that too.
And, you know, I've been watching him since the beginning. I remember his WCG map or match against Froz. I remember his final against Yellow. I was one of the people that wasted a part of their life watching those bunker rushes. I cannot wait to sit on that stage because they'll move me to the stage. Here's the other thing, too, about MLG. They set up the schedule. Then they realize that they have more time to put people on stage, so they put people on stage. So hopefully I can play Boxer on stage. If not, it's cool. We'll do it on stage 2 where there's no seats. but I'm going to give him the best I got. I'm going to play as amazing as possible. And I'll tell you what, because there's some people asking.
Tell it.
If I get the chance to drop a pylon in the Emperor's base, you think I'll do it? You're damn right I'll do it.
Dude. You better.
I'll drop three pylons if I have to. So.
Yeah, and then a cannon.
Yeah, well. So I'm not looking to cheese him. Shit. I want to play a straight-up game and win, but as is indicative of my gameplay, I'm willing to do it. So I want to win first and foremost, and I'm going to do that the best I can because beating Boxer and then shaking his hand and then perhaps wiping like a little tear off his cheek or something like that, that's actually my dream for MLG. So.
Right on. I like that. Well, then, since we kind of heard the dream from In Control, Pain User, what do you really expect out of yourself for this competition?
I'm just going to have fun and do the best I can. I mean, that's really the only reason I'm going. I'm going to be a part of the experience. I mean, I'm also doing a lot of work for IGN there. So
you're double dipping.
Yep.
You're double dipping, pain user.
I figure if I'm going to be there, why not compete and have a good time and just do the best that I can?
Triple
and then
dipping.
Odds are I'm not going to be too busy on Sunday. So I'm going to be doing all my work for MLG on Sunday, and then on Friday and Saturday, I'm going to compete and do the best I can. And if by some miracle I'm in, like, the semifinals or finals and I'm busy on Sunday, then whatever. I have a couple guys who can substitute in for me and take care of my responsibilities for IGN. So.
Right on, right on. And, I mean, Idra, I know that you guys have both commented on your training, but as far as what you expect out of yourself, is this just another tournament to hop into, or... is there a lot going into Anaheim?
I'm preparing more for it than I have for the tournaments probably since MLG Dallas and the IEM Grand Finals. So hopefully I'll be better than I have been before. I really like my group. I definitely expect to finish first in it. But yeah, we'll just have to see. It's a really big tournament for me.
All right. Ink, do you want to go, or are you just leaving it at shaking the Emperor's hand?
No, I mean... MLG is the important tournament for most of us, myself included. It's the one where you kind of make your name. So I've definitely had more time to train for this MLG than any other. I've always had some big project going on, or in 2010, I just didn't put this much time into it. We've been boot camping at Scott's house. We're now here at this LAN center. We've been playing pretty consistently here. It's not perfect. I would still like, I mean, I can't wait for us to be in the house in August where we're sitting shoulder to shoulder hardcore training, because right now we're still doing PR stuff. We're touring. We just did a Kingston tour. We're moving around. There's a lot of transportation, people yelling and stuff. So it's not perfect. So I'm not going into this thinking this is the absolute best in control you could ever possibly see, but it is a better in control than I've ever been. So I'm really excited to do as well as I can. And I like Greg, I think the group is pretty good for me. I boxer of the Koreans, not to speak down of him. He's the most beatable of those Koreans. Idra is the second or third best foreign Zerg. No, I'm just kidding. He's obviously really good. Look at that stone face. Jesus Christ. I'm not making another joke about that. Chef is a really good ZVP specialist coming back from Korea. So I'm looking at this show, not to be, not mentioned. These are people that, for me, are really, really good. They're excellent. They're all tournament winners. They're all top competitors. But they're not untouchable. So if I want to have a really good tournament, this is the group where you do that. And the nice thing about the MLG format, too, and we've talked about this at length, is that even if I don't do that well in this group, like let's say I get hammered down by these extremely awesome players, I still have a chance to redeem myself in that championship bracket. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to a tournament where if I put in the work, I should get something out of it.
All right. Well, I know everyone is excited. Obviously, the other big news is that a lot of Koreans coming over, and we talked a little bit about that with the prize money and whatnot. But certainly MLG is going to be a phenomenal weekend, so hopefully you're tuning in. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines just for a little bit. We don't have a ton of time left, but what would the show be if we didn't actually do that? So we skip over some of the other emails. We appreciate those. You can send them in to ITG at onemoregame.tv, any questions you might have. And let's go ahead and open up the phone lines. You could Skype us at DJ Weider telephone, 909-581-8519. Let's take this first one that comes in, guys. So welcome Mark S to Inside the Game. Hello.
Hey, this is kind of a question for every race, but when the Protoss does the mid game DT to every expansion, what's the best way to defend it with static structures?
By already having it built?
You need a bunker and a turret at least at each of the bases. Or if you have a PF and a turret, you just need to surround the turret with SCVs and repair it before the DT has an opportunity to kill the turret or get up close to it. And if it's multiple DTs, then it's kind of the same thing. But you need to be prepared ahead of time. You can't like react to the DTs getting to your expansions. You have to have like anti-DT measures in place ahead of time, and then you should be okay.
Taylor, do you think a DT can pick off a missile turret before the planetary fortress kills the DT?
No, but if it's multiple DTs, they can. Easily.
I know, but you said that second.
Not a single.
You saying
no.
Yeah. Okay, just checking.
No.
All right, Marcus, be prepared. It's like the
be
Scouts.
Prepared.
Be prepared. That's it. Be prepared.
You watched Lion King.
I'm that's never, ever picking up the first call ever. I was totally expecting, like, so, guys, I've been breaking down the MLG stats, and I think going, we got something completely different. There it was. All right, we'll take this call then. Matt, welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question?
Matt.
Oh, wow. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a big fan of the program. I'm a silver level Zerg, but a much... Can you hear me now?
We can hear you perfectly.
Oh, sorry about that. Pausing the stream. I'm a classical musician, and one of the strengths of our profession is we incorporate a lot of sports psychology. And I was wondering what the EG House is going to do when all the players are there on the sports psychology front.
Well, I mean, that's an excellent question. I myself have put a lot of attention to sports psychology, having played sports my whole life. And I don't think there's going to be any, like, schedule. We sit down and talk about sports psychology. There's not going to be any books handed out, but... the mental aspect of the game is extremely important, so when we see one of our teammates like doing something that we feel like we can comment on, just like anything else in the game, we're very candid about speaking to that person about it. Even if they disagree, the conjecture is beneficial. So, to your question directly, I don't think it'll be focused on, but it's definitely something that I'm aware of, at least, and it'll be in the house.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you. And, I actually think it's a good question, because... I think a lot of this shit is mental, man. I mean, I in every game that I've ever played, there's a lot that goes into it, the mental aspect. I mean, things change, and StarCraft's a totally different game, but I definitely feel like players can defeat themselves very easily, and we see it happen all the time. And then I think we see players kind of overcome within the boundaries of the game as well. But, I mean, I'm not suggesting that every team needs, like, like I think this guy was mentioning, a sports psychologist inside their house, but at least the team being the psychologist, I think, is not that bad. I don't think it's too crazy of a suggestion, I guess. All right. Area code 404, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, I was just going to ask a question about Idris, actually. About since Blizzard seems to continue the attitude that they're not really focusing that much on esports attitudes, especially in North America, would he consider going back to Korea if he won the Code S spot? And another point is, since EG is obviously looking at the Korean aspect, if they did establish a team house there, would he and In Control, would they be willing to go there?
Yeah, going to Korea is entirely possible. It never could happen, but it wouldn't be because of Blizzard. That doesn't really change anything. It would be just a different end of the problem. I would then be really jet-lagged if I fly to MLG, or traveling to any foreign tournaments then becomes much harder. That doesn't fix the Blizzard problem at all. But specifically, just the opportunity for me to go to Korea or for EG to focus more on Korea, that's definitely on the table. Nothing's really decided yet.
All right. Thank you, sir, for your call. Picking up the next one. Let's see. I can't even pronounce that name. That's interesting. We'll go with this guy. We got Alexander on the line. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? I just have a question about the Koreans and when they come to like foreign events. Do they ever approach like the foreign competitions as serious as, like, for instance, they take the GSL? I mean, like, Lucera lost to MMA during the last MLG to some pretty stupid stuff, you know?
Well, what do you guys think? I don't think they take him any less serious.
I don't either. And I think MMA played phenomenally. I mean, I don't know. I think he won that series versus Lucera. I don't think it was, like, Lucera not taking him seriously. He played really, really, really well.
Yeah. I don't even think they could find that within themselves. What do you, Greg? You've spent a lot of time over there.
Yeah, I've always found those kind of questions really weird, because you see that kind of comment, oh, he was just blowing that match off, or he didn't really invest that much into it, or he didn't care about it. It's not really that hard to take a game seriously. It's not like there's no reason for them to blow it off. That's not a mindset you go into, okay, I want to win this one, I'm going to try hard now. It's just, I don't know if that's something unique about a pro gamer, the way they approach it, or that just seems really odd to me. No, they're taking it seriously. They're not preparing for it like they do a GSL match, but the format doesn't allow it. You can't prepare for one match for the next 5 days the way you can in GSL. So they're not at the top of their game, but that's solely because of the style of the tournament, and it's the same for everyone else. But no one just goes in and blows off a game for X thousand dollars.
But also, people underappreciate the mental level of this game. Like, they see someone play an amazing game, like Puma versus MC, and they think every game that MC or Puma play after that will be of that level. It's not really that way. They can have an off day, you can have a bad matchup, you can be tilted from something else, and then you put a crappy game out. And that's not them throwing it, or them not caring, or them being bad. It's just, that's what happens in StarCraft, because there's so much stuff going on.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, caller. No, there was no way there was going to be a part two to that question. Sorry. Heath! Heath, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Oh, hey, what's up, guys?
What's up? How's it going? What's your question?
Hey, I had a question for Pain User and Jeff.
Okay.
Shoot.
I've been opening up Reactor First to Rax against in my TVP. I'm a High Diamond Terran. And I've been running into a lot of problems with 3-gate DTs, and I'm kind of getting owned, and it's not really like I'm dying to DTs, it's the follow-up I'm having trouble with, because I usually follow it up with, like, Reactor and, dropping both sides of the base, but I can't really ever do any damage with the stealth units that are always there. like, I don't want to waste scans trying to kill him. So I was wondering if you guys could go, like, what, like, the best follow-up you think is.
To after he hits you with the DTs?
Yeah, wait, say, like,
pain user,
or is he just using them purely defensively?
Following it up with reactor?
No. It's reactor. It's reactor first, two racks. So
yeah,
I push,
that.
You know, the typical push, and then I get the command center. But the DT usually cleans it up if he's going to regate DT expand. So I'm kind of at a weird point there because I don't really know how to follow it up. Do I go quick ghost? Do I go medevacs and just
get
kinda...
a quick NG bay and drop a turret at your natural, like in range of the ramp and your CC. And he'll probably find a sweet spot where he can still kill some SCVs, but you just build a second turret then in range of the first turret. And then you should be able to cover your natural.
Question correctly? I'm not really talking about holding off a DT. Like, I can...
So it's follow-up.
You're talking about how to prevent DTs from killing your drop?
No.
Killing your units?
Talking about map control.
Yeah, the map control.
You have to concede it. You have to concede map control, right, Jeff? I mean, there's no way he can...
No. In fact, I could bring Demuslim over here. Demuslim! Okay, well, he was saying, like, when they go DT, he laughs, he saves up, like, three scans, walks across the map with his army, and kills them. Because they're not... If they go DT, expand, they're not going to have any army at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you hold off, you save your natural with the fast engineering bay, which you should have incorporated in your build anyways.
Yes.
And then you push across the map with two or three scans... And if one DT is hitting your Marauders for a little bit, if you're at their natural, as long as you pick off the Nexus and stuff, that's not the end of the world. I mean, you're going to win the game. They should not have any army.
Hmm.
So if you're overreacting, like waiting to get Ghosts or a Raven out and stuff, then you're playing right into what they want you to do.
That would be what I was doing.
Yeah, saving. So you were saving scans and pushing?
No, I was waiting until, like, I was experimenting with drops, kind of just, and dropping, going ghost push, getting a Raven out, then pushing. I wasn't kind of proceeding into three racks and then just pushing with scans.
Well, you got to be kind of careful if you push after you save up, like, three or four scans. If you push, like, a really good Protoss player will probably have a DT right outside your natural, and he'll start engaging you right then. You'll probably have to burn one then, and then he'll send in another DT... and then another one, and just send them in one at a time and prevent you from scanning all the way across. So another thing you can do that's really good is if you have an NG bay down, send three SCVs with your push and then start dropping turrets right when you get to his natural. Drop like two turrets immediately and then burn scans to defend them. And then eventually once you get those turrets up, you can just kind of hang out at his natural and continue to kill it. It's really nice to have the turrets.
Okay. That sounds like a good idea.
All right. Heath, thank you for your call.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care. All right, we'll take a couple more. I actually thought maybe people would be asking about MLG, but what do I know? Area code 314 hung up on us. we'll just take the next one. We've got Ben on the line. Ben, welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. So I have a question about what you were talking about earlier. I know like MLG and StarCraft II taking the main stage is a huge deal, but you guys were talking about it from a... you know, the game and how big the game has become, but would you not consider the fact that the personalities have become so huge compared to, say, the Halo Reach scene and the Black Ops scene? No offense to either of those two. Like, you have... I don't want to focus on, like, the singular players, like Idra, or for, you know, his notoriety at some points, or In Control for his hilarity. I'm thinking more like, we have team kills going on in the group stages, and they're so exciting to see, especially live, like we've heard at Columbus, the ridiculousness of all those matches. And we have players coming back like TLO after his injury and like the Muslim, who's had a slow start, but he's coming back now and he seems pretty prepared. So I don't know, how big do you think, like how much do you think MLG was considering this when they decided to put StarCraft II as the main stage?
Oh, I don't know how big the Halo and Call of Duty scene is in terms of personality like that, but it's certainly something big because... you can see it. The audience always gets more excited if it's like a rivalry or something like that. That's what gets people going. It's easier to get excited about that than the game because you don't have to understand anything. You just know that these people don't like each other or there's something that you can relate to them about. And then all of a sudden the match is personal. It's just a competition. The game's irrelevant. It's just something people can get excited over.
So, do you think
really,
that
really
maybe
big.
Sorry, go on.
No, I just say I it's a really, really big point. I'm sure they considered that.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't. And when they first picked StarCraft II, obviously they saw the popularity, but I don't know that they themselves realized what sort of, you know, environment they were going to create. If that was also what you were asking.
Well, I think the community created it more so than MLG.
Well, but the community didn't create a venue where, you know, 3,000 nerds can convene and scream and you know, ooh and ah over the things going on. Like, we all do this within our own homes, right? I watch GSL and I'm like, oh my God, and I'm grabbing my cat and I'm grabbing his arms and I'm like, can you believe this is happening? No, but really, you know, suddenly you bring all these people together. I was wondering where you went in control. We put all these people together and suddenly the energy is like explosive. I noticed something, someone say something in chat. And I guess what do you guys think about this is that they said, it seems like Halo pros or even the Halo casual competitors aren't as interested in watching the pros as I'm sure half of the pool that or half of the open bracket or even all the open bracket are. You know, they've got a lot of competitors there for MLG Halo, and they do fill up those seats. But, you know, how many spectators are just going? I don't think they knew that was going to happen.
Well, it's a skewed game, though, like, and I'm not trying to make excuses for Halo, but everyone plays Halo from their home casually. It's not like a purely online community. And I don't mean to come off ignorantly. I know they play it online. I know it's got a huge, robust community where there are replays uploaded and top 10 kills. And it definitely has an online community. But there's still a lot more people who are pretty good who play from home and who play online are a little bit more obscure. So when they go, there's like the MLG pros that everyone wants to watch, and they watch them, but they don't really care as much about the slightly more nameless people in the open bracket. StarCraft II is so individual that we have a much larger opportunity for there to be so many people that people care about that you have to have eyes all over the tournament because you can't watch that one team that's your favorite that has five of your favorite players. Now it's, I like that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. So I'm checking more places. So I'm hitting the website more times. I'm watching more streams. I'm asking more people. Like, I feel like it's skewed in favor of StarCraft II in that business model.
All right. Ben, thank you for your call. We've got a lot of calls coming in, so I'm not going to necessarily – you better get that question out that you want. Next caller is Joey. Joey, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? How are you guys? Excellent. I had a really – quick question: Who do you guys think are going to be the top five foreigner finishes? Just the foreigners, disregarding Koreans.
So not. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, guys. What do you? Who wants to take that one first? Not in really any like particular this. Order. Just
I never like those kind of questions.
I mean,
answer it in control. Answer it.
Naniwa, Naniwa, Huck, Chef, Idra. Select.
Your microphone's off.
Myself, Naniwa, Huck. I don't know who else is going. Most of the big Europeans aren't going, right? Select hasn't been doing as well lately.
Really?
He hasn't been doing as well.
I don't know who else.
I'll just pull some random names out of here for you. How about JWoozy89?
Yeah, he's someone to look out for, definitely.
And also, we've got Shurka 3030. You never know.
No, he kind of sucks.
Brotosterone's the coolest name I've ever seen at MLG.
What's his name?
Brotosterone.
Brotosterone. I like that one.
We had Brobocop here, too.
In control, what do you think?
I mean, in the last MLG, we had Select win one game of five or something like that in his group. We had Kiwi Khaki bomb out. Naniwa needed somebody else to win a game in his relatively easy group that he was supposed to roll over. There's so many X factors. I have a really tough time picking it. And here's the thing I don't like about the question, too. I'll say Idra. I'll say Huck. I'll say Chef. I'll say Select, Kiwi Khaki. And those are the safe bets, but it could be completely wrong, but also be like, of course you said Andre is on your team. And it's like, there's no legitimate way to go about it, so I just don't like it.
All right, so we'll just turn it back on you, Joey. Who do you think the five foreigners will be, the top five foreigners will be?
In order, Idra, Huck, Nani Wa, and then three or four. I haven't really decided.
All right, well, I want you to think a little bit about Bullet 21 underscore 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 MLG underscore.
Okay, him and then pain user.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you for your call, Joey. We'll see you. You'll be in Anaheim, right?
Yep, definitely.
All right, word. Peace. Bye. Let's take one more call. And then I'll save you guys from this week's calls. And if that means it's our last call, then we've got none other than the one,
yes,
the only, Goatless joining,
yes,
us.
Yes, yes.
Goatless, hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
G'day, how are we?
I'm great. I think Idra and Control are ready to be done with the show.
Oh, I was going to talk to you.
What's up, Goatless?
Not a whole lot. I'm just wondering this week what you think about matchup consistency in SC2 at the moment.
Oh, sure.
Because specifically, I don't know, like MC and those sort of players, they seem to, like, they've just got one weak matchup and it just seems to be their downfall in these GSLs if they hit, you know, a competent player in that matchup. Whereas, you know, we've seen
just being weird?
NST taking the cake.
Their name and then their handle?
Who wants to go with that consistency right now in the play? You know, especially as we're sitting with NST, is just as Goatless said. Pain user, you want to knock on this one a little bit?
I mean, consistency of any specific matchups or?
I mean, like, in general? Just the players. Like, MC, for instance, you know, he's had his PvP let him down.
Right, where he was shown as a consistent player, but then he kind of faltered. Select, just like Idra mentioned. Kiwi Cocky, just like Idra mentioned.
All right, here's what I think. It takes so much to be at the top of your game and to be consistently one of the best players in the world. You have to put in a ridiculous amount of time and effort and training, and you have to have great practice partners. So many things have to be aligned perfectly for you to be at the top of your game like that. So it's very difficult to maintain that type of an environment for an extended period of time. And that's why, I mean, even in Brood War, it was so amazing for one specific person to, you know, achieve dominant status for a year plus, something like that, you know? Bisou, Savior, Boxer, all during their reigns. But at the end of the day, you can't... And I think in StarCraft 2, the longevity of a period of dominance like that is even shorter because of how many factors there are required to stay at the top of your game. And then also, StarCraft 2, I think, is a game that's just a lot more volatile. There's so many more things that can happen. It's a lot easier for a player of less skill to take a game off of a player of superior skill in StarCraft 2 than I think it was in Brood War. So it's really easy to get into a rut and get frustrated and lose a couple games and just have things not be the way they were. And then you're not as consistent of a player, I think.
Any thoughts on that, Idran and Control?
Yeah, well, he was talking specifically about matchup consistently, having all your matchups on the same level. And I think Nessie kind of demonstrates how valuable that is, just because he's one of the few players without a really clearly poor matchup. And obviously,
yeah,
he's just, he never runs into someone who's just really difficult because of his race. You actually have to outplay him. And that's a pretty huge deal, because you see so many players who have weak matchups as a downfall. And they're clearly... Well, in their good matchups, they're very good players. They are worthy of placing top X in the tournament. But if they happen to run into someone of their weak race, they can't perform as well as they should. So, yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
Ink, any final thoughts on this one?
I appreciate your question, Goatlust.
All right.
There you go. There you go. Something else?
In Control, I'm just wondering what you think about Combat X and how he started up with his YouTube channel, and he's launching out some instructional Protoss videos, and they've been pretty informative so far. wondering what you think about just the whole situation.
Did he ask people to ask me or something? Because I get asked that a lot. Why am I getting asked?
Well, I don't know. He seems to make mention of you fairly often, so I don't know. Thought there was something going on there?
No, I mean, if you want attention, you don't mention people that, you know, nobody recognizes. So, unfortunately, people that continue to propagate it and ask that question and, like, talk about his videos are giving him the attention he needs. He's not a good personality.
I agree.
He yells at everyone. He threatens to beat everybody up. It's not helping the game. So the more people, like, are entertained by it but then forward it all over the place, the longer we have to tolerate it. And that's not a big deal for a guy like you or someone you know. But for me, who gets stream sniped by him and he's cheating blatantly, and then he yells at you about it and calls you horrific names and he threatens to shoot you at lands and stuff, it gets pretty... It's just like, why are people entertained by this? So
yeah, I agree.
I know I've made mistakes. I've conversed with him on... You know, we had him on Destiny stream, and I shouldn't have done that. Like, in retrospect, I should have just ignored the guy, and I feel bad about it. So, it's you know, I understand, you know, you think it's all fun and games, and that's fine,
so,
but...
Yeah. It's not so much, like, you know, fun and games, what you're talking about, like stream sniping and threatening to fucking kill people and whatnot. But, I mean, he's really putting out, like, a different side to that sort of thing and, like, not really alluding to that.
Yeah,
like,
but hold on. Hold on a second. I want to jump in here a little bit, right? Because it's like, it's kind of like you're at point A and you've traveled all the way to point B. And to get there, you have burned every fucking bridge that you have had to cross. Every single fucking one of them that you've had to cross, and there's been a ton of them, and you're like, oh shit, I have to get back to point A somehow. And so you make a little bridge out of toothpicks. I mean, that's what I kind of feel like he's doing. I personally have never seen the draw of it. I think maybe I've seen the Day 9 Combat X chill video, and that's probably it. I think I might have read a thing or two on Reddit, and that was pretty much like, it's just not, I don't find it that interesting because I have other more important things to think about. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like, I kind of find it hard to be like, yeah, go watch this guy shit after, you know, he's been trampling all over people's yards, just shitting in
on
it
everybody.
For how many years, you know?
It's
like,
it's not even like he's distanced himself that far from that shit. His opening video, where I'm starting new videos again, isn't going, yeah, I'm not as terrible after all as, like, fucking the shit of a who's the shit. Like, I mean, and there's people at home going, oh, it's so funny, it's awesome. And that's great, find it funny. But to further it and propagate it, just, like, just know what happens. I mean, we're just going to have to tolerate that more. It's funny for you. It's actually bad for us. And you know what? If you're okay with that, if that's something you're okay with, then all the power to you. I'm not gonna tell you not to. I can't, so I won't. But if you ask me that question, I will explain to you that it's a real big nuisance. He's a cancer in the community, and if he ever did show up to a LAN and tried to pull that act in front of me, I'm not just some stupid kid who doesn't care about that stuff. Like, I'm a big boy now. I'll handle myself, you know?
Now you are. Last week, maybe not so much, Jeff, but this week... I think you're a big boy now. Yeah.
Big boy pants on.
Yep, big boy pants.
It's kind of weird, too, for somebody that, like Combat X, that is obviously so concerned with his image. I mean, I'm sure he watches all these shows. He reads all kinds of community news. He's somebody who cares about it so much. For someone like that who cares so much about their image and has such an ego... It's really interesting to me that he goes about it in the way that he does. I mean, it's almost like he feeds off of everyone hating him. But at some point, and I feel like maybe he's hit that point where he's realized that he's truly alone in the community and he has absolutely no friends and nobody wants to spend time with him or practice with him, that maybe now he's realizing, like, hey, maybe I have to give something back and develop some kind of a straight track line here, or it's just going to keep on going on forever. So I think maybe that's what he's trying to do by actually, like, helping people and benefiting people. Or he just sees all these other people making instructional videos and making money, and he's like, all right, I want to make some fucking money, too. Yeah, so I'm going to start making training videos.
I'll start making them out of all this ash that I've collected from these bridges that I've thrown gasoline on and lit on fire. That's kind of where I come from. So,
yeah.
You know, if he's entertaining someone, sweet. But at the end of the day,
it's not
no
me.
One will remember that. But people will remember, you know, an epic competition final or, you know, a rivalry or whatever. So anyway, Goatless, thank you as always.
Yep. Thank you very much, guys. That was pretty insightful.
All right. Well, take care, buddy. Have fun watching MLG. Peace. All right. That'll kind of wrap us up. I know that you guys got practicing to do. I want to check out some of these new awesome maps that everyone's so excited about.
Oh God.
That'll be awesome. But I want to give final thoughts, questions, as I will see you all in a few days and give you bro hugs and all sorts of good stuff like that. So who wants to start with final thoughts? Okay, paid user, since you volunteered, go ahead, take it away.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. Truly appreciate it. You can find me at twitter.com/paid user, and I will see everybody at MLG. It'll be good to see everybody. Good luck to all of you. Good luck to myself. Buena suerte. And I'll see you guys in a couple days. Oh, yeah, and Wheat. You're totally going to get your ass kicked at MLG, man.
Yeah.
You suck. And
why?
You're terrible.
I am?
You're
going to
choke
by
up
who?
During commentating and
by
choke
who?
On stage in front of everyone.
Man, bitch, I ain't choked up fucking ever, and I don't ever plan to. That shit don't happen. There's been one time I've been. There's been a few speechless moments, but.
I will see you on Thursday.
Word.
Are
awesome.
You all getting in on Thursday?
I'm getting in Thursday morning, where I will be attending Disneyland with the Mini Wheat. Be
right
checking
on.
Out all the great attractions across the street from the venue. And then I'm sure I'll be meeting you guys up or meeting up with you guys on Thursday. So, Idra, your final thoughts? Anything you want to say?
I'd like to thank all my fans and supporters. Also, Team Evil Geniuses has us out here for a week prepping for MLG. Should help a lot. Hopefully it'll be a good tournament for all of us. And all of our sponsors, Intel Steel Series, Monster Energy, Intel Extreme, Kingston HyperX, everyone at Six Pool Gaming. Big thanks to all of them.
Oh, yeah. Big shout-outs to Team VP for sending me to MLG. Appreciate it. I've only been on the team for like a week, so I always forget that. And, thanks, Jeff. Big shout out.
Because that's how memory
I put it on. I put it under your I put it next to your name, dude.
You did? You finally did?
I did.
And then also, stay tuned Thursdays through Sundays. IPL TV broadcasts start at 5 p.m. PST. I'm out.
Awesome. All right. Ink.
Everyone go to MLG, obviously. We all love to meet people, want to see everybody. It's going to be amazing. Come be a part of the magic. Please do say hi. Can't wait. All the sponsors, obviously. Idra just hit on them. Big shout out to all of them. Obviously, we couldn't do any of this without them. I also want to say that I have been working out with Idra and Machine every day. Greg just recently benched 205.
No just shit.
205. Machine benched 265. And I am predicting a 300-pound bench press Idra before the national finals for MLG. Can you do that by then? Yeah.
Sure.
So that's kind of cool. Greg only weighs like pushing 150 pounds. So we're going to have Monster. We're going to have Monster literally sponsor us through our Monster bodies. It's going to be awesome.
I like it.
All right. Also, I'm going to start streaming again. I've been asking that a lot. I've been on the road, busy. But August, we're going to refine our streaming a lot. We'll be doing that. The house is going to be amazing. We've been asked not to release too much information, but do expect kind of a big unveiling and showing off what we've been talking about for a while. So, fun.
I've been in it.
I can't wait.
I was in it with actually Idra and Machine and Sir Scoots. Yeah, got to check
it out. Is pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. That's what I was allowed to say. It's pretty awesome. out of respect, I won't talk about just how fucking awesome it actually is. So, with that being said, I will say I cannot wait to see all the fans out at MLG Anaheim. Of course, I'll be one of them right there when I'm not casting in the crowd watching the games. When I am casting, squealing like a little girl in the back there. Happy to see Mr. Bitter and Husky joining in on the operation, and JP as always holding it down. I also want to say, guys, don't forget that, of course, the GSL finals will be going on, and also the EVO finals, well, I guess the EVO event itself, big, big event. If you have the capability to watch multiple streams, and you do, you should definitely be watching multiple streams this weekend, as I'll just go ahead and do it for Greg and In Control, Justin Wong, Ricky, Flo, many of the other EG members will be there as well. They're two new, Momochi and Choco Blanca, as well as, a lot of big names. It'll be awesome. I know I'll be sneaking views of it. And that's all I got, guys. Thanks for joining us for another Inside the Game. If you're going to Anaheim, we hope to see you there. And, if you don't like the show, I'm going to ask that everyone direct those comments to Pain User this event. So if you don't like Inside the Game, Pain User is going to be taking all the complaints at MLG Anaheim. Is that cool?
We just got criticized. Someone says that the show's gone to the dump, man.
It has.
And the thread, you should check it out.
It's gone to the dump, man.
Greg's annoyed with me. We don't talk about StarCraft 2 enough.
All right, well, we'll take notes and we'll try to make it better. All right. All right, guys, thanks so much.
We'll try.
Oh, mini wheat.
Whoa.
All right. Peace, guys. We'll see you next time on Inside the Game, and we'll see you at MLG Anaheim. We're out of here later.
Adios.
Peace.
See you.
Want to say how excited you are to see everyone at MLG Anaheim?
Yeah. I'm excited to see everybody in MLG Anaheim.
Yeah?
Yeah. And even MLG Pikachu.
What?
I said MLG Pikachu.
Are you gonna watch some StarCraft while you're there?
Yeah.
If someone asks you to sign their boobs, will you sign them?
No.
What if someone asked you to sign their box of StarCraft 2? Will you sign that?
Yeah.
What if someone asked you to sign their boobs? Will you sign that?
No.
Why not?
I said only sign boxes or only autographs.
Only autographs. Well, what if someone wants their autograph on their boob?
No, not autograph my boob.
Okay, all right, you win this time. I always give autographs on. All right, guys, we'll see you next time. We're out of here. Peace.